The willow came back where the fire had been, and Sophie had come up the mountain in the last warm week of the fall to cut it. She was 45, a professor of history down in the valley, but she had not come up as a professor. She had come up as her grandmother's granddaughter, in old jeans and canvas gloves, to the wide meadow on the west shore of the lake, where her people had gathered and burned and gathered again for longer than anyone could count. And she knelt at the edge of the wet ground among the young red shoots and looked for the ones that were straight and long and clean, the way she had been taught, the way the old women had been taught before her, cutting each stem low with a quick pull of the knife and laying it in the crook of her arm. The lake lay below the meadow, enormous and blue and cold, Da Oaga, the edge of the water, the name the whole world now mispronounced as Tahoe, without knowing whose word it had been. This had all been Washoe country once, the whole basin of the lake and the passes around it and the valleys running down both sides of the mountains, the summer heart of it right here, and the people had come up every year when the snow left to fish and to gather and to be at the center of the world. And then the timbermen and the ranchers and the summer houses had come, and the Washoe had been pushed down off the mountain into the desert valleys on either side, given a few small colonies, a few acres here and there, and told the lake was no longer theirs. But the tribe had never let go of it entirely. Sophie's own tribe ran the little resort down on the shore now, had run it for better than 20 years under an agreement with the government that owned the land, and had spent those years quietly getting its hands back onto the meadow, tending it, clearing the choking pine that had grown up in a century without fire, and bringing the fire back on purpose, in careful cool burns that opened the ground to the sun and made the willow grow long and supple the way baskets needed it to be. Because that was the thing the summer people had never understood about a meadow like this. It was not wild. It had never been wild. It was a garden 1,000 years old, and the tending of it was fire. And when the fire stopped, the garden closed and the willow grew short and brittle and forked and no good to anyone. And the plants a weaver needed disappeared into the brush. Her grandmother had told her that. Her grandmother had been of the line of the great weaver, the woman the collectors had called by a shop name and lined up to buy from and photographed like a curiosity, who had made the finest coiled baskets anyone in the world had ever made, tight as cloth, and who had died 100 years ago, almost to the year with her language and her patterns nearly dying with her. Sophie had grown up hearing that they were the last of everything. She had believed it as a girl. She did not believe it now, kneeling in the new willow with her arms full. There were 6 of them at the meadow that day, tribal people up from the valley, a couple of the young ones from the culture department, and one very old man who did not cut anything but sat on a folding chair at the edge of the burn in the sun and told them in Washoe what the plants were called, the old man being one of a small and shrinking number of people alive who still carried the language whole, a language like no other on earth, tied to no other tongue, an island of words that had been spoken in these mountains and nowhere else since before there were mountains anywhere with names. One of the young women wrote the words down and said them back and got them wrong, and the old man laughed and said them again. Sophie listened and did not write. She was trying, this late in her life, to let the words go into her the older way, by the ear and the doing, the way you learned a place and not the way you learned a book. Down in the valley, her university had lately discovered that it stood on somebody's land. They had written a paragraph about it, a good paragraph, that named her people among the peoples whose country the campus sat on, and they had opened an office and hired someone to see to the tribes, and to the long, slow work of getting ancestors and stolen things returned from the museum drawers. And Sophie had been asked her opinion of all of it in more meetings than she could count. She thought it was real, and she thought it was late, and she thought both without heat. A paragraph was not the meadow. A paragraph did not need tending with fire. But it was not nothing, either, to be named at last out loud in the place that had spent its first century pretending you were gone. And she had learned to take the real thing wherever it was offered, and not to spit on it for being small. The land itself was the harder thing, the slower thing. There was talk, always now, of land coming back, of a ranch here or a stretch of forest there being returned to the people who had been on it first. And some of it was more than talk, and Sophie had spent good hours of her professional life writing the histories that such returns rested on, proving on paper what her grandmother had known without paper, that this had been Washoe ground. She did not know if she would see the big returns in her lifetime. She had stopped needing to see the end of the work in order to do it. That, too, her grandmother had taught her, or the meadow had, which came to the same thing, that you tended what you could reach, and you burned when it was time to burn, and you cut the willow when the willow was ready, and you trusted the ones who would kneel here after you to do the same. One of the young women, the one who kept getting the words wrong and saying them again, came over with an empty bundle and asked Sophie to show her how to tell a good willow shoot from a bad one, and Sophie set down her own armful and took the girl's gloved hand and ran it along a stem, feeling for the straightness, the give, the length between the buds, naming it as she went, the way it had been named for her 40 years before at the same meadow by a woman long dead, and the girl nodded and knelt and made her first cut, clean and low, and laid the shoot in her arm and reached for the next one, and Sophie left her to it and went back to her own patch of the burn, where the willow was coming up red and straight out of the black ground, more of it every year, waiting to be made into something that would last. Historical note. The Washoe, Washoe people are the original inhabitants of the Lake Tahoe Basin, whom they call Da-O-Aga, and the surrounding Sierra Valleys. The Washoe tribe of Nevada and California, headquartered in the Carson Valley, has operated Meeks Bay Resort on Tahoe's west shore under a federal agreement since 1998, and has worked with the U.S. Forest Service to restore Meeks Meadow using traditional ecological knowledge and cultural fire, which encourages the willow and other plants used in Washoe basketry. The Washoe language is a linguistic isolate, with very few fluent first language speakers remaining, and the tribe supports its revitalization. The University of Nevada, Reno adopted a land acknowledgement around 2021 and established an Office of Indigenous Relations in 2022, which supports Native students and repatriation work.